NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The world's number one chess player, Magnus Carlsen, was recently disqualified from a chess tournament for wearing jeans rather than trousers. You'd wonder why chess would have a dress code at all, but many sports do. And yes, chess is internationally recognised as a sport. Emma John is a sports writer. Afternoon, Emma.
Hi, hello, afternoon.
What is the dress code for chess?
Well, I mean, the dress codes, there's not a kind of universal one that's been established by the governing body. That there are various dress codes for each individual tournament. But the overarching idea is, is basically business suits, really. It's business attire. It's casual smart casual or smart, essentially.
Yeah. And given, though, it's a sport where people are sitting down most of the time, why have one?
Well, exactly. I mean, to be honest, you only really need to look smart from the top up, don't you? It's like Zoom calls where, you know, you wear you could be wearing the shirt up the top. Your opposition rival player doesn't see you from the waist down. But it seems to have come about. Chess always expected its adherence to dress smartly, and that just came out of tradition, right? So people, it was like many of these sports that, you know, become codified in the Victorian era. It's a sport that begins in an era when people dress formally. And so when people are doing these sports in the early days of the sport, and when they're starting to come to when they're inventing tournaments and competitions, they are showing up in suits because that's what people wear those days. And the sports have just expected people to keep up that standard of dress, even as the world has moved on and, people dress in different ways and more casually. That's essentially what's happened with chess, as it has with quite a lot of different sports.
Would they, if they allowed chess, and this is probably a cliche, but you'd have a notion of chess players, they're all geniuses and they never comb their hair. They look like, you know.
Exactly.
They came straight out of a cardboard box to be there. So are they kind of a bit worried about that?
I think that's a little bit of an element of it. Interestingly, there was kind of this expectation you dress well. There was, for example, in the 1950s when Bobby Fischer was world champion and was the chess kind of superstar genius, as a teenager, he would show up to tournaments wearing flannel shirts and corduroy pants and sneakers, which were the cool things to wear in the 1950s. And chess got very upset about that. And Fischer ended up starting to dress like everyone else and wear smart suits. But actually, there was no kind of, none of the governing bodies had real, actually put it down in writing until really recently, 2017.
Wow.
The European Chess Union created a dress code. And the reason was precisely because the people who ran European chess, they're called, you know, the arbiters, who are sort of like the referees and umpires of chess, and the administrators, they had really noticed that people were basically showing up, and they said they were showing up as if they were going to the beach. So there was a real kind of thing with chess players that they would show up wearing shorts and board shorts, essentially. And this was what started this thing of like, we've got to write down a dress code because this kind of isn't acceptable. And the interesting thing about the 2017 code that was written by European Chess was that the thing that everyone got very excited about was it sort of banned cleavage. It actually wrote down in the rules how many buttons you were allowed to have undone. on your shirt. Because women wear, you know, women are expected to wear shirts or a blouse too. And women are only allowed to wear, anyone is only allowed to unbutton down to their second button.
And was that taste and decency, or that, you know, they might be using cleavage as a distraction, or hiding chest pieces down there?
I love the idea of hiding chest pieces down there. Definitely the idea was, you know, your opponent should not have to be distracted by your cleavage. But the thing about hiding chest pieces is that is the reason why chess players are not allowed to wear hats, and have, you know, despite the fact in the old days people did wear hats, if you showed up to play chess, you had to remove your hat. And it was precisely for that reason that people could be hiding hats under there. Hiding chess pieces or something under there.
Why do snooker players dress like waiters in a dodgy gentleman's club?
Well, you know, exactly. Again, it goes back to this kind of aspirations of to aristocracy, right? Which is, I find, completely ironic, just because snooker is the most egalitarian sport of all, really. But it clings on to this traditional wear, which comes out of the fact that snooker, you know, was born in the late 19th century. Snooker itself derived from billiards, which had been being played in the stately house circles by the aristocrats since the 1700s. And so you played these games after you had dressed for dinner, and dressing for dinner meant, you know, wearing a dinner suit, wearing a bow tie, and in the old days coattails, but it sort of then became black tie, waistcoat, dinner jacket. And obviously you took your jacket off, you took your dinner jacket off to actually play at the table. That was acceptable, but the waistcoat had to remain on, and the bow tie had to remain done up, and that's why snooker players look the way they do.
But it's completely impractical for a sport that involves a lot of leaning over a table and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, and many of the elite players have made this point again and again, and that there is a real movement, towards having more comfortable clothing. I mean, I think it's incredibly ironic that, you know, if you think back to when David Brailsford started introducing us to this concept of marginal gains that he brought about in cycling, which was sort of back in around 2012, the Olympics 2012, where you do anything, you know, the tiniest thing that can improve your performance by the tiniest measure. And that included anything you could do with your kit, you know, or anything you could do with your body hair, or anything at all. But snooker sort of resolutely refuses to do any of these things and says, no, we don't really care about your performance. You must wear these kind of really restrictive clothes. And I mean, several players, including the current world number one, Judd Trump, just really, really want it changed. Judd Trump says that he doesn't think that his standard is as good when he plays at the top events, the world championship events, where that dress code is rigidly enforced. He says, I don't think I play as well at those events as I do at the smaller events, the sort of lesser events, where we are allowed to wear more casual clothes, which essentially often means not wearing the waistcoat, not wearing the bow tie, maybe even occasionally wearing something like a polo shirt.
That's so interesting. Emma, as a lot of this stuff, say when you think about Wimbledon and you think about cricket, is a lot of it classist, essentially?
I mean, I think 100%. Like I said, so many of these sports, they were, you know, all, most of the sports that we know and enjoy worldwide that came out of British tradition or were just sort of stolen and then codified by the Brits, whatever that is, be it chess or cricket or et cetera, all the rules were written down in the 19th century, which was obviously a time of formal wear, but it was also a time when formal wear was how you identified your class, and being smart meant that you were playing at a certain level. And this is exactly why Wimbledon has the all white. I mean, funnily enough, I think it's really ironic that the reason that Wimbledon and tennis became an all white costume was because the Victorians didn't like the idea of sweat stains showing. So they say, oh, well, we need our clothing to be white, because if it's white, then the sweat stains won't show. But then it became, but also it's a way of, making ourselves a point of difference and saying, well, we are the smart set, you know? So when you come to play here at Wimbledon, you play in all white because we're special, because we're elite, because we're sort of harking back to an era when everything was very formal. So yeah, it's entirely kind of layered with this classism.
Now, but you did mention egalitarian sports. Darts, you'd imagine, is the most egalitarian sports, but even they have a dress code, or is that a recent thing?
Well, that's interesting. So, funnily enough, the darts dress code, it almost came the opposite way. Darts, obviously, is a pub game. And the dress code came in because darts was trying to show itself as a more professional sport. And they didn't really want it to be identified as just a pub sport anymore, especially when BDO and PDC come along and professionalise the game. They want to be taken seriously. And really, I suppose they're looking to snooker. You know, they're looking to these other kind of barroom games that became sports, and they're saying, well, how can we smarten our people up a little bit? So they did introduce this dress code, but I think what darts has done really cleverly, in a way that snooker hasn't, is that they've kind of recognized, look, we are different. We are not a sport that is ever going to take itself completely seriously. I mean, you know, their trophy is the Ballon d'Art. You know, come on. they know that people want to come and have fun. If you're putting on a event where the people who come and sit in the audience dress up in fancy dress as superheroes, or, you know, as I saw over Christmas time, you know, a full English breakfast, you know, people coming as like fried eggs and baked beans, then you can't expect them to kind of respond to players who get up dressed very soberly. So they have incorporated in their dress code, this idea of, yes, we want you to wear kind of sober trousers and smart shoes, but you can express yourself, with these colourful shirts. And also, I love the fact that their shirts are actual kind of sports shirts. You know, they wear proper kind of like the wickaway breathable fabrics, because it gets really hot if you're standing in Ali Pali or wherever you are under the lights with hundreds and thousands of spectators. That appreciation that, yes, this is a sports person and they should be able to wear sports appropriate kit. And so they have actually adopted that into the rules. And there are even lines in the rules that say if your outfit is part of your identity as a player, you can even break some of these rules, which is why we see some of the players go up and they are wearing loud trousers. It's because they've been given special permission, because, you know, this colourfulness is a part of their identity as a player.
Yeah, darts would be one sport where they test the notion that a white top will hide the sweat stains. Emma, thanks a million for talking with us today. That's Emma John there, the sports writer.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play, with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today for a free welcome offer that can get you spinning and winning right away. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.